So, Alan, what's your take on this? You presented some data looking at this Oncotype assay out of the CALGB last year. What was your thought about these new data?
Well, I think it is interesting to extend it to stage three, that the same recurrence score in this case applies to stage two and stage three. There is data from the PETOC group from Tejpar in Europe that there may be a different set of genes involved in stage two versus stage three. So this is interesting. I think it isn't something that I'm using. I do think the issue of the oxaliplatin benefit or not is very pertinent. And in fact, there's a paper in JCO that'll look at an update of Mosaic now, I think 8 years later, that shows that the delta from oxaliplatin is really relatively small when push comes to shove in terms of overall survival. So this may be an important tool if, in fact, we can learn from this who should or should not receive oxaliplatin. We don't know that yet, but this is preliminary data that suggests that.
You know, Tony, it's been really interesting for us as a CME group to watch this evolve, because I think in some ways we're kind of viewing it the way an oncologist in practice, because they're seeing breast cancer with Oncotype and, you know, a lot of other kind of situations and kind of seeing, you know, is it analogous or not. It's been interesting to see the GI cancer community as they've been thinking about this over the last few years. You know, breast cancer, one of the issues is the test is done in people with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease, and the benefit is what happens on top of endocrine therapy. And very different than the colon cancer situation. But in breast cancer, of course, we're seeing it being looked at, and it looks encouraging in node-positive. So, you know, kind of ties in to what's happening here. Tony, how do you see this situation right now? Are there situations, and the question we really want to get everybody's feedback on, is what assays are you using in the adjuvant setting in addition to the tumor, you know, pathology, histopathology, et cetera? What do you think about this new data?
So I think that's a very relevant question, because for the practitioner, the question is, should I order this test or these tests, and how would that change what I do? So to the last question, how would that change what I do at this point of time? These studies do not give you the answer. They provide us with prognostic information rather than predictive, meaning they do not tell us whether we should or not withhold chemotherapy or proceed with adding oxaliplatin to 5-FU. I think they're intriguing. I think they're setting the stage for future studies. But right now, in actual practice, I would not use them to discriminate who should and who should not get chemotherapy.
So, Axel, this issue of prognostic versus predictive has always been brought up by the GI investigators. But, I mean, if I read that poster, the NSABP poster, correctly, they're kind of saying something that's been said from Quasar, which is, yeah, it's not really like breast cancer that the relative risk reduction changes, but you can kind of look at these numbers and really be able to get more information about how much absolute benefit a patient might receive from treatment. Do you agree with that, or do you think it is purely prognostic?
It's actually probably the relative benefit that is the same across the different tumor groups. The problem with Oncotype DX and colon is, besides being not predictive and only prognostic, it doesn't really spread the prognostic groups out as large as I would like them to be spread out. I mean, we're talking about a delta between high and low risk group of about 10% absolute difference in a three-year disease-free survival. And, you know, my gut feeling is we should do better than that. And that's one of the reasons why, in agreement with all others, I do not order Oncotype DX routinely in my clinical practice.